We find ourselves on the day that the Christmas market in Lincoln actually launches in Waterstones. Why, you may well ask? Well, quite frankly, because we like to support the Stone Tapes in every sense of the word. And they've taken this challenge to actually say, let's set up a wonderful book tour with Sam Stone and David J. Howe in Waterstones at a time where we've actually got probably the Lincoln's busiest time of the year. David J. Howe, we salute you.
Well, you know, books are always good, and we're standing here in the, frankly, an amazing TARDIS-like Waterstones, in that you come in and you go back and you go up, and we're on the first floor and there's books everywhere. And no, it's always, always good to be able to come out to actual bookshops and sell actual books to actual people. It's really lovely.
There are those of us, of course, who remember the time when this was Otica's, and it was a fine, delightful setup indeed there. And it's nice to know that Jill Hart was right, even though she's left the company since then, that actually Waterstones have tried to keep some of the magic that Otica's have actually had in place. Although they do tend to change the sci-fi and fantasy area. I mean, that has been at various times downstairs, to the side, over there, to over here. Kind of like a bit of a movable feast, a bit like one of those moving castles we might speak about on the Stone Tapes.
Absolutely. I mean, I think bookshops do that, though. They shift stuff about, and it's always nice to see a big section, though. And this is a lovely big corner we've got here in the shop, with all of our lovely books out on the table. And
which brings us neatly around, of course, to some of these fantastic books from Telos Publications, from a point of view of obviously Sam's latest vampire scenario, and of course Demons, or is it Daemons? That's the question. Talk to us about what fabulous things you've got on offer, so people who are listening to this can think, gosh, we couldn't get to Lincoln, but we can buy it online.
Absolutely, you can buy it online, and indeed hopefully you'll be able to buy it in this Waterstones, and we'll leave some copies here. The current book that we're promoting, I tend to use Daemons. I use Daemons. It's called The Daemons of Devil's End. And people who are old like me, or who have very long memories, who've got...
You just said you were chronologically gifted, David.
I am chronologically gifted.
Experientially enhanced.
People who've got kids might remember a John Pertwee Doctor Who story called The Daemons, which was originally shown in 1971. That story featured a character called Olive Hawthorne, who everybody fell in love with at the time. She was a white witch. She helped the Doctor kind of save this little village down near Stonehenge from the Daemons. So what we've done is, many years ago, I'll try and shortcut this, many years ago we were contacted by a director friend of ours, Keith Barnfather, who wanted us to write a film script for him featuring this character of Olive Hawthorne. Because the lady who played her, lady actress called Damaris Heyman, who is absolutely brilliant, is still alive and is still able to work, and she's like 86 or something crazy. Lovely, lovely lady. And she was all up for it. So we wrote a film script. It was myself and Sam and Debbie Bennett, Suzanne Barbieri, Jan Edwards. We all got together and we wrote a film script of a kind of talking heads of Damaris Heyman telling the story of Olive Hawthorne's life. And so then what we did was we novelised that film script. So the film came out in October, and we've produced a novelisation of that film, expanding all the stories, you know, making it more exciting and all this kind of stuff. And it's going
story
really,
fit
really
for the
well.
21st century.
Absolutely. And it's going really, really well. And we've done the book in a couple of editions. We did a sort of a standard edition, which is like book standard, sort of normal book, as you might expect. And then the other edition that we did is what I've described as a Target-alike edition. And again, listeners with very long memories might remember the old Target books, the Doctor Who novelisations. And what we've done
is... Artwork by Chris Achilleos, of course.
Artwork by Chris Achilleos and all of that kind of good stuff. It's fantastic. So what we've done is we've actually produced an edition which matches the look, feel, style, size, fonts, everything of that, the old original Target books. And so that's a lovely little edition that we've got that's something quite special. We're quite proud of it all, really. It's all
so you should be. Now, currently Sam is talking to Doctor Who fan Tim Rydout, who's doing his stuff there, obviously.
Yes.
Currently studying, I think, for a Master's at the University of Lincoln. You may well know that.
Yes.
I don't think Tim will ever actually recognise. We've kind of communicated various times via Facebook. He's promised to come along to several of our Telefantasy events. Has never made it, so what the hey. Clearly, you've got the pull here.
He's obviously so busy. We'll have to get him to come and talk to you, Alex.
Discerning, do you think so?
I think he's very discerning. Well, I think he will definitely have to come and have a chat with
him. I believe we actually have a friend or colleague of Miss Bennett's as well.
That's
who's currently
right.
Currently
yes.
Caressing the book, it has to be
yes.
said, as we speak. Really.
Yes, by a complete coincidence, a great friend of Debbie's, a guy called, I think it's John, is here. He lives in Lincoln. And
so you don't know his name, he's in Eshot.
Well, you know, that's...
I'm going to be listening to this on radio,
we'll call
a podcast.
We'll call him John. He's here.
Has he got a new motor?
I don't know.
1970s line.
Lexi Sale, stop it.
Yeah.
It's Christmas, we can have these sort of jokes and things going on here. It's all part of the milieu that we like to call the Stone Takes.
Stone Takes Christmas special. Yes. Lord knows what's going to be happening
have no idea what's going to be happening. We're recording that. Is it week after next?
I believe it's being recorded actually next week, David,
next
to put
week?
Your proof to sort of thing. On the 13th, it will actually be transmitted probably the week after.
Okay.
Or maybe even the day after. So
we'll have to get together and think about what we're going to do then, won't we, really? We'll have to get our act together.
Exactly. We could be inspired actually by the fantasy and sci-fi range here. I mean, it's interesting just looking at some of the things. We've got Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. Of course, we had a recent Philip K. Dick special.
We did.
Which went down very well. And that's the line from that. Of course, for the aficionados, it's nice to see that the late, great Brian Aldiss is represented with Cryptozoic.
Yes.
From that point of view. I give a thumbs up to a novelization of Wonder Woman there, which is in the corner. Let's keep the Who thing going. Ben Aronovich, the person who always really wants to secretly be Sam Stone in terms of quality of writing. Ben's obviously there with his Rivers of London.
Douglas Adams, of course, we've got here. If you're into that, Philip K. Dick, even more Philip K. Dick. Ready Player One, I think they filmed that, didn't they?
It's a movie which is actually going out next year and will be with us in the early part of the whole thing, as it said.
I think they're filming as well, as far as I remember, they have been for some time.
Neuromancer, of course, much beloved of my science fiction students, because it is the thing that I use to introduce the whole notion of cyberpunk. Without Neuromancer, I think it's fair to say no Matrix. In fact, if you look at the descriptor on the back of the whole thing there, you'll see that they actually do make a reference to the Matrix, or at least they did.
And coined the term cyberspace. Produced a first novel. And this was his first novel, wow.
And for those people who are listening, you can find the Stone Tapes, all episodes of the Stone Tapes, in cyberspace by simply going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com/the Stone Tapes, type in the Stone Tapes on the whole thing, and magic will ensue.
Absolutely, and you'll have many, many hours of listening pleasure.
Bit of cross-referencing then. Let's talk very briefly about, again, the reason you're actually here to, obviously, for Sam to sign books, and probably yourself as well, I'm sure, David. I mean, people, once they realise it is the David J. Howe.
David J. Howe.
Happens to be randomly selected for interview by myself. Sometimes it happens. It's the way
it
one
can
is.
Happen, yes.
Would you like to just talk us through the text that's actually there?
Absolutely. So we've got some copies of Olive Hawthorne and The Daemons of Devil's End, our fabulous novelisation. We've got copies of Sam's first vampire novel, Killing Kiss, which is a great vampire tale. She's also brought along her Cthulhu horror collection, so lots of tentacled horrors and stories.
H.P. Lovecraft returns.
Absolutely. In a female form as Sam Stone. She's also brought along her zombies.
I'm not sure whether that's the line that Sam would be happy with, to be absolutely honest, but what the heck? Again, she's out of earshot.
We've also got her young adult kind of thriller, horror, fancy adventure thing, Zombies at Tiffany's, and Cat and the Pendulum. And I've got along as well copies of my fabulous illustrated book, The Target Book, which is the history of all those lovely Target books that we actually talked about just then. So we've got quite a few titles here, and they always do well. And it's lovely to see people already queuing up and chatting and buying books. And
once we have a chance to actually tear and prize Tim Wright out away from Sam Stone, we might actually sort of have a few things. You see, he recognised me.
Word. There you go. You see, you're a local celebrity.
Whoa, wouldn't go that far. Still, never mind. You're listening to Siren FM's Midweek Drive and the Stone Takes on location at Waterstones in the High Street in Lincoln. That's the one next door, opposite the bank and next door to a rather interesting adult novelty shop. But there we are in the city of Lincoln on the first day of the Christmas market. Killing Kiss, Cat in the Pendulum, Zombies at Tiffany's, and Olive Hawthorne. And of course, I'll say it again, Demons at Devil's End. Let's bring in our wonderful go-to actor for the Lincoln School of Film and Media at the university, etc., who is indeed connected with Debbie Bennett, I believe.
That's right. This is John.
John, good to connect with your good self. So share with us why you spent half your life at the University of Lincoln.
Well, it's a long, long story, but I found myself acting in a film when somebody thought I was an actor and I wasn't and asked me to do something, and I did it, thinking there's been some mistake here, and indeed there was. But now I've acted in about 20 student films in the last 2 years. I love doing it. I love working with the students.
You've got a decent agent, Peter.
I know.
That sort of rate, 20 in 2 years.
No, I've been there short films, of course, naturally. But I spend half my life at the university. It's almost like home to me. I love it.
So you managed to cope with the regular buildings which seem to go up on a daily basis.
I love them. I think they're wonderful. Yes. This
is good news. Sam, of course, you can be guaranteed pretty much every month to spend at least 2 hours of your life at the University of Lincoln doing the Stone Tapes. And we're just talking with David. We're pretty soon coming up to the Christmas edition. Any thoughts for the 2017 Christmas special of the Stone Tapes?
Yes, I think we might be reviewing Grampus at the moment, because we haven't seen that yet. And it was on our Christmas list last year. And we do have the DVD, and we've been looking for a good reason to actually watch it. And when Christmas went by last year, there seemed no point. So I think it's time.
Peter, you strike me as somebody who's a discerning listener. Have you ever taken yourself into your computer, or indeed listened live to Siren FM on a Thursday occasionally, and listened to the Stone Tapes? There are 31 episodes you can actually download. That's 31 hours of goodness.
I didn't even know, so I shall certainly do that.
Sam, how can Peter go online to sort out the Stone Tapes? Simply going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com and then find the Stone Tapes is what you're obviously keen to say.
That was right. I just got tongue-tied. Well, thank you, Alex.
Thank you for telling me.
And you'll be able to hear this as well and then say you're also a radio star as well as a go-to person for student films.
I do radio stuff as well for the students as well.
You see, it's amazing. Radio drama?
Radio drama, yes.
So what's been your favourite role, Peter?
Oh, I did a live television programme last year. Professor Arenberg, the Arenberg something or other, but he was a madman. He wanted to turn everything back to the 1950s when things were as they ought to be, and he conjured up a parallel world. And of course the whole thing came tumbling down in the end because it was ludicrous, but it was good.
I don't know, I mean, back in the 1950s, I mean, you got rationing, you got coronation, you got black and white television. What's not to love?
Well, exactly, except for I don't do black and white TV anymore. As you know.
Of course, yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Well, 3D, presumably.
Definitely can't watch that either. It's a visual impairment thing.
That's why the radio is so important. Peter, I know that today you're gutted by the fact that you've actually, rather like royalty, travelled without any finance. But had you got the finance ready, which one of these books would you actually go for?
Actually,
I just refer to you as Lincoln royalty, Peter, that's all.
The Killing Kiss looks really, really good. And there's also one I want to have because my friend Debbie wrote a story.
Exactly.
So that would be wonderful to see.
Excellent.
A truly excellent story she wrote well, I have to say.
I had a look at it and, you know, I think it looks wonderful.
Whilst we're in the process of cross-promoting, etc., let's have a little plug for Fabulous Lindsay Gold, because she'll be joining us, I think, for next week's Midweek Drive, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, is she on a phone-in? You see, I didn't know that.
I seem to recall an email saying, Lindsay, come on. Maybe I was looking at another line. Anyway, how's she going with her musical career?
She's doing really well, obviously, because she was picked for the theme tune of this lovely Doctor Who spin-off drama that we did. Yes, there's been quite a few sales more for her DVD, and she's getting a lot of attention at the moment. So hopefully, who knows where it'll lead.
And before Peter leaves us, because he's looking at his watch, it's always away, he's saying he's actually heading off. Sorry, Peter, we're teasing you today. It's okay. We know you're a competent professional. You can cope.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a governor of the Cross Hospital School, so I've got a meeting.
I was just going to say, yes.
In a few seconds' time, I've got to leave here and then rush up home, get the car, go to the school, and there we are.
So we've talked about the books. I'm sure you'd be delighted to actually listen to some of the fabulous music of Lindsay Gold. Sam, how can Peter also access your daughter's music?
Well, you can find that on SoundCloud for free. There are a few samples, but of course you can buy the DVD from her website, which is www.lindsaygold.com.
I shall do that very thing.
You've got your tasks, you've got your mission statement, you've got the lesson routine. I'm sure as governor of Lincoln Christ's Hospital School, it's what the national curriculum was made for, I'm sure.
Exactly that, yes. I rush home and do all those things.
There are times, Sam, where over the years, sometimes you're actually left as a presenter with one's foot firmly in one's mouth. And having just realised that I spent the last interview referring to Peter, when of course his name is John, is one of the examples. But I feel, let's front up, let's not hide, let's not pretend it didn't happen. It did. All the listener has to do is have a bit of exercise fun and actually sort of download it. And every time you hear the word, well, Peter, it's actually John.
Yes, I think you all need to remember that. So listen up, listener. You hear Peter, it's really John.
Interactivity. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. It's the pantomime season. We're talking about Andy Abrahams at the Aladdin as well in the next few days. So great stuff.
No, it's not. Hat to me, door.
Indeed. So, Sam, I asked David this, and I obviously put this to John. In terms of your own favourites, I mean, I'll come straight out now and say I love the Cat Lightfoot scenario, both Cat and the Pendulum and Zombies and Tiffany's. I suspect Killing Kiss is your favourite, or do you have a favourite? Is it like asking you to choose between your favourite offspring, if that was a case?
It absolutely is. I think my favourite is always the one I'm writing at the state at any particular time. So I'm writing something at the moment that's completely a different genre. So that at the moment is my favourite, because it's very exciting to be doing something different. So yeah, it's whatever I'm writing at the time, whatever my latest baby. However, I have to say, Posing for Picasso, which is out in January, is probably my ultimate at this point.
It's cubist.
It is very cubist.
Postmodern.
Well, crystal cubism's more
nice
into it, I think.
Yeah, I like that. Will there be audiobooks available and audio versions of Olive Hawthorne and the demons/daemons of Devil's End?
It's being considered currently, so, you know, watch this space. I think hopefully that will happen.
Currently, Tim Ryder is in deep consultation with David, obviously, presumably talking matters Whovian, relating to, have they destroyed the series? Is it the end of everything? What are the BBC thinking, etc.? It is interesting, looking at fandom, how that does seem to have split a whole range of things. Heck of a gamble when clearly the new incarnation, Jodie Whittaker, takes over the role and the mantle of the Doctor.
Absolutely, and I must admit, I was a little taken aback by it myself.
Simply, you think science fiction fans are slightly more civilised after that?
Oh,
area?
Yeah, I think they're
forward thinking.
No, the behaviour online has been appalling, actually, and there was even somebody put a petition up this week which just really upset us all, that demanding that she was removed, and people actually signed it, which was shame.
We
on
know
them.
That the costume isn't great, but then again,
no, it's
was
not.
Colin Baker's.
Well, Colin's was dreadful, wasn't it? So I mean, when you look back, it sort of has a very the costume to me reminds
Bill and
me
Ben.
Of, yeah,
Flowerpot Woman.
Yeah, it's just not. It doesn't look.
Play school through
trendy.
The round wing.
It doesn't look trendy. I mean, I think she should. What I would have liked to have seen her is when we had the trailer and she was wearing like a camel kind of coat. That just seemed to be the right image for me. Sort of mature woman, you know, somebody that would carry the title Doctor.
Although there
maybe
is.
Maybe that's me.
Well, there is the point, of course, that, you know, here we are. 21st century Brits effectively referring to gender specific citizens of Gallifrey. There's no reason why they couldn't have actually had a different life form entirely. I mean, obviously the notion of the non-human nature of the whole system. Mm. Although, having said that, bearing in mind the tremendous way in which costumes were dealt with Christopher Eccleston, with David Tennant, with Matt Smith and his kind of geography teacher's one, and even Peter Capaldi, I must admit, if I was Jodie, I'd think, are you serious?
Yeah, I think I would too. But I will say this from a female point of view.
Like the braces?
No.
The suspenders?
No, none of it. But I think she's lovely. I think she's a very talented actress. And I think people should give her a chance. I think that's what we're all going to do. Anyone with any smarts is, anyway.
I wonder if Tim Ryder thinks the same. We may find out in this little on-location piece, kind of subset of the Stone Tapes, in which, yes, dear listener, I've spoken more than I have in the entire 31 episodes of the Stone Tape series. That's because they don't let me have a microphone.
He has to do this when he gets a chance.
With the words, it is hot in here, we obviously speak to Tim Sizzling Rideout. How are you, Tim?
Great, thank you, Alex.
Good. I was saying to Sam that I don't take it personally that the two telefantasy events I've organised at the university you've always managed to avoid through a variety of reasons which we don't go into, but never mind.
I would take it personally. Right. It was meant personally. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's end the interview here then, shall we? Let's move on. You have got not one, not four copies of Olive Hawthorne and the, I'll say demons, David says daemons. What do you say?
Demons.
You see?
Demons, daemons, tomatoes, tomatoes.
Cool the whole thing off. Yeah,
precisely. Really exciting diegesis in terms of the imagined world beyond the characters and so on. Your thoughts when this project was first announced as a keener Doctor Who aficionado?
Oh, delighted. And I'm the right vintage for this collection, so I would have been about five or six when the Demons was first broadcast. John Pertwee was my first Doctor. I lived by the Target books when they were published in the 70s. So
we all did to a certain extent, and I'm speaking of somebody who's Patrick Troughton's era, but there we are, that's life.
But a combination of something that celebrates that story and partly and doing it as one of the options in the Target format is brilliant. It's a genius thing.
Okay, so let's move it up a little bit. Let's do a sort of IDW graphic narrative setup that we've got here. If you had the opportunity to take characters like Cat Lightfoot from the point of view of zombies at Tiffany's, from the point of view of Cthulhu and other monsters, I'll bring Sam in as well on this, hopefully, in a few moments. What would you see the idea? I mean, I'm thinking like Star Trek and Planet of the Apes. I'm thinking of the likes of apparently disparate areas working together, like Superman and Spider-Man. Who would you most like to see epitomised? I mean, I suppose there is a kind of predecessor in terms of Bernice Summerfield and how she's kind of emerged in terms of a Big Finish, etc. Which characters of Sam that she's created, which have been non-Who, would you like to appear in the Who universe?
Oh, crikey. This has already been done, but it works really well as Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
So both the New Adventures and Big Finish have done that.
That's Lightfoot and Jago.
Jago and Lightfoot, absolutely. But they're already in the Who universe. The one I think that was always on the edge of coming into it was Bernard Quatermass.
Well, of course. I mean, in many ways, no Quatermass, no Who. I suspect that the Sidney Newman view on the whole system was, yeah, he wanted more Quatermass and certainly no bug-eyed monsters.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's absolutely right. And in fact, Quatermass or Bernard is referenced in Remembrance of the Daleks, along with the British Rocket Group.
So, favourite Quatermass? Are we Andrew Keir, or are we more kind of John Mills? I always had a penchant for John Mills,
yeah,
personally.
No, favourite Quatermass, absolutely. Andrew Keir is my favourite. I think the Hammer film of
Quatermass in the Pit.
Quatermass in the Pit is
Barbara Shelley, of course.
Barbara Shelley, James Donald, Julian Glover, brilliant movie. I have a real soft spot for the Houston films Quatermass with John Mills.
Huffity puffity ringstone round, as they would say at the time. I think Sam stopped it. I mean, she's wonderful. I mean, this woman is amazing. She writes fantastic novels and she deals with cloakroom duties as well. It's amazing. It's quite right. Sam, we just put the question to Tim. If you could have a character that you created who's from the non-Who universe, thinking people like Cat Lightfoot, etc., and plop them into the Doctor Who universe, who would it be?
Perhaps one of my characters. I think I'd put my Gabriele Caccini in there because he's a bad boy vampire. I had to be careful how I worded that then.
You did, yes.
But I'm good at this. Yeah, I'm good at this radio stuff.
Exactly.
I'm behaving my language.
So, precisely. So I still think I think Cat Lightfoot would kick metaphorical Dalek butt if she was actually within that whole piece.
I think she'd be amazing in whatever you put her in. I think she would really work.
Well, Sam, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with yourself, with Tim Rideout, with, let's get his name right, John, and with, of course, David J. Howe. I'm going to begin to gradually sort of wander away on this particular aspect. Go, Tim. We haven't even talked about his master's degree as well, so it's all great stuff. We'll speak again later. And as I said, I'll be sort of heading off as well now, leaving the listener with just the thoughts of what they've missed if they're not here, and if they can get here, then certainly it's ideal. Is this the last stop on the Waterstones tour, or have you got a few more stops to go before we head into 2018?
We've got one in 2018 next. This is the last for this year. The next stop is going to be Waterstones in Birmingham on the 20th. So a bit of a distance from here. So, but then again,
cup of tie.
Yes, absolutely.
Cup of tie, etc. It's going to be great. Excellent. That's it. We'll progress ever onwards. This has been What the Hay, a Midweek Drive Stone Tapes extra scenario. You'll hear Sam Stone and David J. Howe back on the Midweek Drive next week, and indeed the next Stone Tapes, the Christmas special, will be coming out very shortly. If you haven't got hold of a copy of Olive Hawthorne and the, I'll say it again, Demons of Devil's End, or indeed the
the Demons of Devil's End, I call it.
Exactly.
So.
Or Sam Stone's fantastic Killing Kiss, Cat in the Pendulum, and Zombies and Tiffany's, do so, otherwise your life will be somehow incomplete.